Well, good evening. Good to see you all back tonight. I'm excited, and I know you'll be excited to hear the speaker we have tonight. The speaker is not only a pastor with whom I've become acquainted, but a man with whom I've become a friend. And I've known him for the last couple of years, and it is a real joy and privilege for us as a church family to be able to hear this brother and to see what God is doing in raising up another generation of leaders to lead the church in Russia. If you were here Wednesday night, how many of you got to participate in the hot potato issues, which really wasn't so hot potato? Okay, a few of you were here Wednesday night. And you might recognize Dennis as the one who was the interpreter for the other two pastors that were here, Pastor Alexander from Turovo-Kipetsk and also Pastor Anatoly from Kirov. And Dennis certainly does that, and he does a very capable job. But Dennis also is what's called a missionary, and he does a number of things in ministry, much of it behind the scenes. But he also, one of the important things he's begun doing is he's become an instructor, a teacher, somebody who is trying to help develop the pastors in their knowledge of Christ and a deeper knowledge of his word so that they can be strengthened in the ministry of the word in their respective churches. Because of what he's already doing, the Antioch Initiative, which is recently something that has been developed in partnership with the Russian churches and the Detroit Coalition, along with Slavic Gospel Association, we thought it would be just really wise to take what God was already doing that was very much along the lines of our heart and our passion and link them together. And so Dennis is going to be joining us in the Antioch Initiative, continuing with us what he's already begun to do through the Kirov Bible Institute in training pastors and seeing that level of understanding of the Word of God come to a level where they can preach the Word and preach it according to what it meant so we can understand it according to what it means. So it's a real joy. It's been a real joy for me. I've actually worked with him the last couple of summers through the Kirov Bible Institute. So I've gotten to know him well. And also his lovely wife, Natasha, who, by the way, just completed her bar exam. And so she's Dr. Natasha. And Lord willing, in the next few years, it is her goal, her desire to become a judge there in the region of Kirov. But not only is she working on that, but she is a vital part of his ministry. One of the big things they do in the summer is they have a camp ministry. And she is a big part of that in terms of organizing it and certainly has much of a passion that, along with Dennis, helps to drive that ministry. So I wish you could have met her. She is the more beautiful half of their partnership, but she can't be here. But she did let him come. You might also know their daughter, Anna. Anna's the one we've been praying for. She's the one that has had this problem with seizures, and they've been trying to study and figure out what's going on. And we've actually taken some of the results of the MRIs, and they've come over here, and they've been evaluated by a couple of our own local hospitals. And so continue to pray for that they'll be able to figure out exactly what the need is and be able to treat her accordingly. So without any further ado, I'm going to ask our brother Dennis to come up. And as he comes up, let's give him a warm Cornerstone welcome. And I want you to know it's kind of ironic for me, and I'm sure Bob can share this and anyone else that's been over there, because we're used to getting into these kinds of situations and standing before a foreign audience and having to have an interpreter. And since, of course, Dennis is from Russia, you would probably have a hard time understanding him. So I consented to go ahead and interpret the message. And so Dennis is going to speak to you, and I will be his interpreter.
Thank you very much. Приветствую вас, братья и сестры.
I bring you greetings, brothers and sisters.
He's doing good.
Go ahead. Just one more of them.
Okay. I bring you greetings from my church in Kirov.
Я передаю вам привет из моей церкви Киров, Россия.
Thank you very much. Well, it's very strange for me to be worried while I'm talking. but it feels like I got the amplifier behind me. Because when I was sitting down there, I thought, it's very hard to hear what the speaker says. I hear myself now. I hope you do the same. We really enjoyed the time that we spent together and having this fellowship, and especially the blessings that we all experience. And you know what I find very different over here? It is the people. Because the people over here, they're more friendly. In spite of the experience that I had in New York, where we got stuck with our airplane, but I think that Americans, they're pretty much friendly people. It's very hard in Russia to see the smiles, as you, some of you probably know. And I have a picture of my driver license with a smile. And guess what's going to happen when the policeman pulls me over? He looks at the picture, and then he suspiciously gives me that look. I think the people over here, they have almost everything. And when I look through the bookshelves that your pastors have, I get very tempted. Because we don't have those. And I think those books will never get translated into Russian. And this is the sad part. I would like to share with you my personal testimony first. I think it will help us both understand where I'm coming from. First of all, I have to say that I was born in a non-Christian family as well as non-Christian country. And nobody told me about God. Nobody said anything. There was no access where I could get my Bible. However, when I was a teenager, I felt something. And it was quite strange because nobody told me about God, but I had this kind of feeling that God is somewhere. He is real. And then I had a short prayer. Actually, I asked God, is there a God? I tried to talk, but nobody answered. And then I said, God, just prove yourself so I would get to know you. And there's so many events took place in my life that I kept saying, well, there is no God. Then I decided that I need to find my own Bible so I will get to know God. At least I will know about him. I went to the library, where actually I almost lived by that time, and I couldn't find my copy of the Bible. I searched all the shelves, I searched the archives of the library, nothing. What actually I could find during those days, it was the atheist literature. It's called Funny Bible, where actually people make fun of God and his Bible. So I decided to read it, because there is no Bible, that's only what I got. And I read it through. And there are some quotes from the Bible, in this Funny Bible, which was written by unbelievers. And I noticed that I read only those quotes. That's how the Bible came into my life. I tried to find those words, what actually Bible says. And then I prayed that I would like to have my own Bible. That was a very short prayer. Within 2 weeks, I found a Christian lady. And we are talking right now about 1988, 89. So it was before Perestroika began. So I took my own New Testament. It was a treasure for me because there is no way to find it. I opened it and I read it 16 times without stopping. I was reading and reading it through. Then I got many questions. I got so many questions that nobody would answer me. And I came to the church. Everyone assumed that I'm a believer because I quoted the scripture very well. And they talked to me. They thought that I came from another church. But I was an unbeliever. I was the one who is looking for God. And then the whole picture came to me. I realized the existence and the need in God. And I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And this was the miracle. Because there was no one who would preach to me. My father, he was surprised. He said, "Dennis, don't tell anyone that you're a believer. Because during those days, you might be in trouble." And I kept going to the church so that I would have a fellowship. And by the time, the freedom came to Russia. Perestroika began. And many people started interested in God. My father, he's a teacher in the university. At least he used to be the one during those days. And I was doomed to go to the same university. But I had this strong desire to go to the seminary. And I prayed. And there was a seminary in St. Petersburg Christian University. So the name of it became university. And my dad, he said, "That's okay, you can go." I graduated my school, high school, early. I passed all the exams, so I had some time to go to this school. And my father thought that if I go to that school, then I will decide and go to his university to study. But I studied the God's Word in the university for almost 5 years. And after I graduated and came home, my father, he accepted Christ. His life had been changed. And the reason was almost the same. I had my books on the shelves. And he started reading those books. He found my Bible. And then he went to the church and accepted Christ. Within 2 years, my mother, she became a believer. So, all my family, including my sister, we are all Christians now. That's the background I grew up with, and that's how the life was changed. It is very hard for me to speak in a different language, especially to preach. I better translate someone, especially Brother Bob. But there is something that I would like to share with you. At least I have studied the Gospel of Mark for 5 years. And I would like with you to read one passage of the Scripture, which is very interesting. Chapter 3. Gospel of Mark. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designing them apostles, then that might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. There the 12, they are appointed. And then the list of those 12. I noticed that NIV Bible represents 12 as an apostle in this passage. I looked through the English versions and found that King James has only disciples. According to Russian translation, there's only disciple word. And if we go directly to the Greek New Testament, there are some manuscripts that have the apostles, but some of them they don't. I think those men, they become apostles only when Jesus sent them. And they were so excited that they got back with the miracles, with the authority that Jesus gave them. They were able to reach and preach. I would like to share with you some thoughts that I have about the discipleship. Because this thing is very important, no matter where you go, no matter where you stay. Discipleship is something that comes along when you are with Jesus, when we are with Him. Discipleship, it's when you're following step by step. It's very hard to be discipled if you don't know the teacher, if you don't know Christ. Disciple basically means the one who follows Jesus. And during the Soviet time, as I told you, there was no opportunity to follow to anyone. Many people, they were following the direction that Communist Party would show. And when it failed, right now we feel this emptiness. There is nothing that sustains people. There is nothing that helps them. And many of them feel like they are lost, especially teenagers. They have no clue about the purpose of their living. They don't know where they're going to. They're completely lost. When I got here in the States for the first time, I noticed that you have a big cars and they shine very nice. Everywhere where you go, there are so many opportunities. There are so many things that I wanted to see. And I thought, wow, what a country. And then I noticed something about it. No matter where you go, there is something that we have all in common. It is a sin. The sin that corrupts people. The sin that made us dead for God. The difference here in America and in Russia is the following. You kind of have a nice package, so it's covered with a nice box or with a nice outlook. But sin is still there. It kills. In spite of those shiny cars, there are some people. And today I saw some of them were drunk. So sin does the same thing here like it does in Russia. And there is a great need for discipleship. And really appreciate and looking forward when some of the people under the Antioch Initiative are coming to Russia and coming to help with the discipleship. Something that will share heart to heart. Something that would change our lives. I had several people in my life that helped me to grow. I have translated many Americans. Over 100, maybe 200, maybe even more. I don't know. For the last several years, I stopped this experience. And the reason why? Because I couldn't meet anyone who could actually teach me something. And there's two men that came to Russia. And there's something that really touched me. It was Jerry and it was Bob. I said, they are different. I think I will start translating again. The discipleship is when you are with Jesus, when you walk with Him, when you follow His steps. It is written over here, you may read with me, He appointed 12, so Jesus calls those who want to follow him. If we go all the way back to the beginning of the gospel, especially the time when Jesus came and called his first disciples, they had something in common. They were brothers, so they could team up and work together. They were fishermen. They were ready to work hard. And there is something else that's very important. They were ready to go right away. I really think this is the discipleship, real one, when you're ready to go for it, in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the cost. This is something that we're going to share together in Kirov, in Kirovo-Chepetsk, in the region of Kirov, to work together side by side and be ready for changes. I know it's going to be hard, and it's going to change a lot in Kirov and probably over here. I'm pretty much sure about that. Jesus appointed those who were with him following. And the other thing, they had to stay with Jesus all the time. Unfortunately, the people that coming to Kirov, they're going to be for 2 weeks. So time is very short. I wish you could stay, and there is an offer that we still discuss. Pastor Anatoly, he comes over here. Pastor Jerry, he comes over there. And we need to work on this, and please help me. We have to be with Jesus, because he's the one who helps us, and we become like him. This is the whole process that really has to transform our lives. When you guys coming over, especially when the people from the States, they start their speech, there is something that everyone would say. They're going to say two words. So it's going to be greetings, and it's going to be a phrase like, it is a big privilege for me, and so on. I would like to say you something completely different. I know, because this is my philosophy of ministry, this is my attitude. There is only two privileges in my life. The first one is to know God personally. And the second one is to serve him. There is no other privileges. The only two. And I have to confess something here. I never translate this into Russian. When somebody greets with your privileges. I never do that. To be with Jesus, to follow him where he calls, this empowers us. We become an ambassadors. Right now, as we shared with you already, we have these difficulties with the Russian Orthodox Church that causes a lot of problems. They have a very good, reliable connection with the former KGB. A friend of mine, he's a teacher of religion and philosophy in the State University of Vyatka. Vyatka, Kirov, it's the same word. He said that all the people from KGB, they graduated the same state university as the Russian Orthodox priest. So they know each other pretty good. So they know how to work together. And this man, he's trying to build the relationship between the Baptists and between the officials of that university. As Jerry told you, my wife, she graduated this university just recently. So we have many people that doing the same job. We go and getting their degrees to talk to them later. And right now, we have quite a few people who went to this university and they got all the connection. Now, the KGB people and the Russian Orthodox, they know us. And we stand firm and we trust God that He's going to change that. But it's going to take the discipleship. I'm trying to work with this man who works at this university. But he afraid. Discipleship is something that you overcome. You fight with your own fears. It's not a phobia thing. It's something bigger than that. Because you are with Jesus. At the end, I want you to pray. Really pray. Not saying like, I will pray for you, as I noticed it is a very common phrase. Really commit your life, prayer, and probably going for missions in the direction that God calls you. There is a huge opportunity. Not only to be disciple, be discipled, but to disciple others. In Russia, right now, it's one of the greatest needs. Because people, they need Christ. They need to have two privileges in their lives. Something that would change their lives completely and definitely. Amen.
As Dennis mentioned, the opportunity that is before us in Russia is taking on a level of relationship that we really never thought possible several years ago. And on September 11th, we're going to take some time in the evening service and explain to you all that we're trying to accomplish within what we're calling the Antioch Initiative. I think that there is an opportunity for us to overcome some of the distrust that has taken place even between some of the churches in Russia and some of the believers here. Your faithfulness in allowing us to be part of teaching at these strategic Bible institutes, while we thought we were going to train young men who would eventually become church planters, and we have. The process has allowed us to build some relationships and earn the trust of some of the leadership in Russia. And it is that trust that has opened up some doors for us to be able to train and teach pastors. In Dennis's case, he has much more theological education than almost any of the pastors And we want to help them raise the bar for leadership, for their preaching, for how they organize and govern their churches. But we also recognize that this is a partnership in which we have a lot of learning to do ourselves. We don't have a recent past, even a distant past as a country, of persecution. There's a lot of things that we can learn from in terms of priorities and values, prayer, perseverance. I remember one night at Grace Church in Kirovo-Shepetsk, at the end of the service, a young lady, probably about 20 years of age, had a seizure. And Ken, I think we were together at that time. And immediately, upon her having the seizure, everybody in the church that was there, in that place in the auditorium, gathered around her and began to pray. And I thought, now that's interesting. We would call the doctor. We'd call the ambulance. We would call the medics. They didn't have, at that time, right there, an ambulance to call, a medic to call. And they responded immediately by turning to the Lord. As I was thinking on that, on the one hand, as Dennis was saying, I'm so grateful. There's a lot of things in this country that we have been privileged to have, but in some cases it puts a level of protection, insulation maybe, between us and just calling upon the Lord and looking to Him. There is a spontaneity that many of the believers have in Russia of just looking to the Lord first and foremost, whereas we might be looking to other things. And so the opportunity to partner with Dennis and Anatoly and Alexander, the opportunity to work alongside of Berean Baptist in Livonia and First Baptist in Farmington, Calvary Baptist in Waterford, Lakes Baptist in Walled Lake, opportunity to work with potentially some other churches as well in this partnership, is exciting because it's reminding us we're not here on this earth all by ourselves and for ourselves. And God is in the process of raising up a next generation in Russia. We get a chance to be part of that. So I encourage you, I admonish you to pray. Pray for the leaders in Russia, the Russian church. Pray for your leadership here as we work together to try to strategize and help the bride of Jesus Christ be as pure, as holy, as true, as strong as she can be till Jesus comes to get His bride. Will you stand with me? Gracious Father, we thank You. Thank You that You sent Your Son to die for Your people, and that You have been calling these people to Yourself from every tribe and language and nation all over this world. We're reminded of what Jesus said, "I will build My church." We are privileged to be able to be part of that process and want to cooperate wholeheartedly with what Jesus is doing through the Spirit here at Cornerstone and whatever venue that you open up for us. Help us, as John Piper said, not to waste our life on things that don't matter. Renew our passion for Christ, the gospel, and the opportunity to invest ourselves in others who need to know Christ and need to grow as followers of Christ. We pray for Dennis and Natasha. Thank you for raising them up. We pray for their daughter Anna and ask that the concerns which have been documented physically will be eliminated, that you will heal this girl. And whatever part that we can play in that and facilitating that, Lord, please help orchestrate those details. We ask that you will use Dennis and Natasha to help reach many children through their camp ministry. We also pray that you will use them in helping to train this generation and next generation of leaders in the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night.